Hello and welcome to the Private Labeler Show, where we are dedicated to helping you take your Amazon business to the next level. Now, here is your host, Nick Landowski.
Hey, hey, what do you say? How the heck are you, everybody? Just checking in on you here for episode number 16 of the Private Labeler Show. Now, if you are brand new to the show, welcome aboard. If you do not know yet, the Private Labeler Show is dedicated to helping 1,000 amazing entrepreneurs start an online business in 2016. So if you are already one of these 1,000 people, kudos and congratulations to you. If you're sitting on the fence, we're going to get you in the game after today's episode, I promise. Now, in this episode specifically, we're going to talk about picking a product to get started selling on Amazon. And to do that, I've teamed up with Mr. Greg Mercer of Jungle Scout to help us walk through those steps for finding a winning product to start selling on Amazon and making some money. Now, but before we jump into the interview, I wanted to take a moment to read an iTunes review. As you guys know, I've been getting in the habit of kind of reading some of those reviews and spreading the love that way. So we're going to jump into that. If you go on to iTunes, you can subscribe to our show, The Private Labeler Show, right on iTunes. Also, we're on Stitcher, YouTube as well. Let's kind of just read a awesome review here left by G Lang85. It says, first off, I don't write reviews. There are very few things that compel me to voice my opinion. I stumbled on this podcast with an interest in private labeling. It immediately turned a slight interest into an obsession. I'm inspired and regularly fed fresh content. The host is knowledgeable and his commitment to helping others leads me to believe the best is still ahead. So thank you so much, G Lang85. That was an awesome, awesome comment and review that you left. And to all the others out there that want to leave a review, please do so on iTunes and I will do my best to read those off on a future podcast. So thank you so much for everybody that's already left one. You are amazing. Now, also, if you go to privatelabelershow.com, you can click on the subscribe tab on the blog there, and we'll simply just notify you anytime we have fresh new content coming out of any kinds, whether it be a new episode or new video or anything. And also, too, you can join our Facebook mastermind group right on the blog there. Just click on the Facebook button and join up with the special Facebook mastermind. We would love to have you in the group to join the community and start talking Amazon and start talking private label. Now, as mentioned, I want to jump into the interview that I did with Greg Mercer. And if you guys don't know Greg, Greg is definitely one of the leading members in the Amazon community. He's very well respected. I've been following him for quite a while now and have a lot of admiration for him. He's a terrific guy, a wonderful person to talk to about Amazon. Keeps things just very basic and just very level-headed. He's just an awesome guy. And he's got tremendous results to back up his words. Very inspiring results. Some of the past podcasts and videos I would see about his Amazon results were just kind of staggering and jaw-dropping. And just really inspired me, and I know a lot of other people, to keep pushing forward, to strive our best to achieve the results that Greg and his team have achieved. Because he's definitely got a lot of great advice and great experience when it comes to Amazon and private labeling. And for that, I am grateful that we have him on today's show as a guest. So without further ado, let's jump into the show. Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode number 16 of the Private Labeler Show. I am super thrilled and excited to bring to you a very special guest today. Yes, it's true. The man, the myth, the legend, Greg Mercer is in the house. Welcome to the show, Greg.
Nick, I appreciate you having me on. With an intro like that, I hope I just can crush it today.
Yeah, you have no choice now. Sorry, man.
Absolutely.
So for all of the people out there that don't know who you are, Greg, would you mind just giving us a quick little bio and sort of a little bit about yourself and as far as how you got involved in Amazon and the whole nine yards of that?
Yeah, sure thing. So actually, just a few years ago, I used to be an engineer as my day job, back when I had a real job. And, I wanted a way out of it. I started selling on Amazon about 3 years ago now. And I did it for a few months until I was able to gain enough traction to quit my job. Sold on Amazon for a couple of years, still do to this day. But after a couple of years, I started a software tool some of you guys might be familiar with called Jungle Scout. And the rest is kind of history. So today I'm running Jungle Scout and the software stuff, as well as still selling on Amazon myself and launching new products and new brands all the time. So
very cool. Very cool. Now, I'm sure a lot of us have seen some of the YouTube videos and success that you've had. Roughly how many products are you currently selling right now?
Yeah, so I have about 36 private label products currently on Amazon.
Okay, awesome. And seems to me that your revenue, as far as some of the past videos I've seen, was into the several hundreds of thousands at this point. Are you still kind of growing that, or are you maintaining, or like how's your success coming so far this year?
Yeah, so it's slowly growing. Back when I focused all my efforts on just the Amazon stuff, none of the software, I was growing a little bit faster. Now that I've, devoting efforts on different things, it's slowed down a little bit, but it still grows a little bit each month. I think in the fourth quarter, we're doing over 500,000 a month. Now since it's just the beginning of 2016 springtime, it's a little bit less than that, but still growing every month and, still launching new products. So it's going well.
Very cool. Very cool. Are you, I think early on, I seen that you were just kind of doing some random products here and there and having some success, and that you kind of shifted more towards brands, right? Like actually just creating some specific brands and really focusing on those. Is that still going well for you?
Yeah. So, I mean, I have like 5 different brands now, and, like a new product can probably fit into one of those 5 brands because they're just like general brands. But, if I find like a very specific product or a very weird product that like doesn't go along with any of my existing products or brands, I don't hesitate to go ahead and launch it too. So, actually my belief's a little bit different than a lot of people that, a lot of people think that, once you have more and more products in the same brand that it seems to increase your sales quite a bit. And I actually haven't really found that much. To me, the large advantage of selling a product that's already inside an existing brand is it's just like a little bit easier. You might already have a logo done. Maybe you have another small little website for that brand or something. So,
okay. Yeah. Okay. And you've obviously mentioned you've been selling for the past few years. What do you see in terms of what's in store for 2016 and beyond for sellers? As we know, there's always new things happening, like with terms of service, and there's so many changes that you kind of have to adapt to and pay attention to. But where do you see things kind of going for the rest of this year and beyond, for specifically for like private label sellers and FBAers?
Yeah, it's a really good question. I wish I had a magic ball, so I'll just give you my opinion. let's think like the big picture here. Amazon wants whatever is best for them and their platform, right? So, they want to continue to make money, and they want to have a place that their customers can go to, trust what they're seeing, have an enjoyable experience and so forth. So, a lot of people have this really kind of like negative outlook on it. I think like, oh man, they're going to shut down all these new private label sellers and this and that or whatever. I don't think that's the case at all, because in my opinion, a lot of us are bringing value to their platform. If you're bringing, like high quality products with really good pictures, really good listings and so forth, I mean, that improves their platform compared to some of these products that have been on there for 5 years that have like one picture, like a 3-word title that's like hard for anyone to find and so forth. I mean, that doesn't like really make their platform look very nice, So I don't have any negative outlooks by any means on as far as like private label type products on their platform. I think they like those and they're going to continue to, we're going to rank well and so forth for all the things that we do. As far as competition goes against other private label sellers, without a doubt, it's getting a little bit more competitive. I think anyone who thinks otherwise is kind of, oblivious to it. That being said, there's still tons of opportunity. So like all the lowest hanging like fruit, the easiest items, they're obviously taken, right? Like the days of selling a spatula that you source for 25 cents for like $20 is over.
Garlic presses and grill brushes and all things like that, a little bit difficult unless you have something pretty phenomenal in terms of a feature, right?
Yeah, exactly. But the cool thing is Amazon is so much more than that. There's millions and millions and millions of products that, you know, if you can just use some research tools or dig a little bit deeper, find these kind of like obscure items that no one else is selling, there's still tons of opportunity out there for these types of items. So, you know, maybe you're not selling like that really sexy product that like you're going to brag to all your buddies about, like, hey man, you know, I'm selling the coolest, latest CrossFit accessory, whatever. Maybe those products aren't available anymore. But if you're willing to sell the, you know, the plastic plant or like, you know, some of these weird items, there's still so much opportunity available.
Certainly, certainly. So let's talk about that for a second. So the product research phase, which I think we both agree is the most critical component to successfully selling on Amazon as a private label or just an FBA in general. And like most people, kind of when you're first getting started, it can become frustrating and you can get sidetracked and, you know, kind of go through the whole paralysis by analysis stuff. Like, you know, I did personally when I first started. I mean, I think I was looking for my first product for like, it seemed like forever, right? And,
right.
And, you know, you're just unsure and, you know, all these different things that kind of get wrapped up in it. You don't want to make the wrong decision. And, it, you know, it's really kind of a big step because as you know, and as I know, if you pick the wrong product, I mean, it can be a, you know, complete waste of time, even if you have sure. great pictures, even if you have everything else working, if there's just no demand, it's just not going to sell really. So what can you say to the listener out there that hasn't picked their first product yet, let's just say, or they're just getting started? Like what's your criteria or what advice could you give them for specific criteria that they'd want to look for to make sure this product that they're going to go for has, like, you know, the size and the weight sure. and all that kind of general stuff?
Yeah, so it's a really good question, and I 100% agree with you. You know, the product selection part is so crucial. Like, if you pick a good product, like, it almost sounds kind of, you know, fake or whatever, but it, like, it almost sells by default on Amazon. That's how, like, powerful Amazon is. But if you pick a product that's really competitive or there's no existing demand or so forth, it's just an uphill battle. Like you said, even if you have really good pictures and all this stuff, it just like won't sell. So me personally, maybe it's my engineer background or whatever, but I'm very like data driven. You know, I like to look at hard numbers and make my choices that way on which products that I'm willing to sell or not sell. So a few of the criteria that I use is I go for a little bit higher priced items. And when I say that, I'm talking about like $20 or plus retail. That's just because some of the really inexpensive items, there's just not much margin left over, not much room for profit. The smaller and the lighter weight, the better. That being said, you know, if you can still make money after fees and so forth, you know, I'm not scared to go over after some of the larger, bulkier items. Just, you know, you have to be really good about making sure you have the correct fees associated with that. Because it is going to cost more for fulfillment. It is going to cost more to ship it here from China or wherever your factory is and so forth. As far as judging existing demand and competition, I have some numbers that go along with that. So real quick though, I'll preface that with just saying I don't look at an item and just say like, oh man, my gut's telling me that that item would probably do really well on Amazon. Like maybe there's no existing sales on Amazon or whatever, but you know, I just know that item would do good. I never say that. I look for products that already have existing demand on Amazon. So I already know that Amazon shoppers, you know, have their credit cards out or making the search for this item, clicking it and buying it through Amazon. That's what I'm looking for. So how I judge that is I'll search for like the main keyword. So, you know, I think you saw it. We did like a public product launch of marshmallow sticks. So mm-hmm. I would search for marshmallow sticks and then I would add up the estimated monthly sales for however many relevant products were on that page. So if I search for marshmallow sticks and, you know, 10 of the items were different types of marshmallow sticks, and then a few other items were, say, maybe like actual marshmallows or grill wood or whatever. I wouldn't add in those items that weren't marshmallow sticks. So I'd add up all the items that were relevant to the keyword, and I like to see that there's 3,000 units of existing demand each month for the sum of all these products. So maybe there's, you know, five different products that are marshmallow sticks. If each of them sold, whatever, 1,000 units or 800 units or whatever, then, you know, in total, in sum, that'd be more than 3,000 units per month that are being sold on Amazon. So that's how I judge demand. And that's just a rule of thumb that I've come up with. You can adjust it accordingly, but I know that works for me, that there's already that much demand on Amazon, then, you know, I'm not looking to create a market that's not already there.
So in other words, you're a data guy, as you said. So if it fits the criteria of being small, let's say under 2 pounds or whatever it might be, hits your price point of, let's say, $20+ so that you have your margin there. And it's, you can make profit off it if you kind of run your numbers and see what it's going to cost you to make and ship and all that. And it has demand, then you're saying then it could be in play, right?
Yep, so that would be in play. And then the next item I look at, the next criteria, is how much competition it has. So, you know, we're looking for those special products that have a lot of demand but not too much competition, right? That's like the Goldilocks. That's what we're after. So if it has enough demand and it meets other criteria you just went over, then I'll look at the number of reviews that my competitors have. And I think this is the easiest way to gauge competition. So I like to see in 5 results, 1 or 2 sellers with under 50 reviews. And in the top 10 spots, so again, if I search marshmallow sticks, this would be the top 10 listings. I like to see like 3 or 4 or even 5 sellers with under 50 reviews. If I were to search marshmallow sticks or whatever, water bottle, garlic press, whatever your product may be, and I saw a bunch of sellers with 100, 500, 1,000, 2,000 reviews, and you know there was no one in those top spots with like the under 50 or a small amount of reviews, that means it's, to me, that means it's too mature, too competitive of a niche for me to, you know, be able to rank in there and compete with these guys. So that's how I judge the competition level.
Okay. So in other words, it could be good as long as you're in it for the long haul and willing to build, right? If they have a lot of reviews, obviously, if you're like entering into that market where it's just crazy amount of reviews, it could be a play, but you just don't expect to really make that climb for a while.
Yeah. And maybe I wasn't clear on that, but those are the type of products that I wouldn't go after. I like to see the products that are the niches or the keywords or whatever. If I were to search marshmallow sticks, I like to see in those top 5 positions, you know, multiple sellers with under 50 reviews, and in the top 10, like 3, 4, or 5 sellers with under 50 reviews. That would mean it's not very competitive, so I could probably get in there pretty quickly. Does that make sense?
Yeah, 100%, 100%.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, so talking about this now, let's say we're kind of running through the data. You know what, I like to think outside the box, and you mentioned a few minutes ago that, you know, you, if it's something weird to tell your buddies or whatever about this product, you might be onto something because it's not so typical, right? So what advice do you have for people that are just searching? Let's say they're searching on Amazon, or do you also recommend that people just look around their house or go to the store, or, you know, like what are some other outside of the box ideas that people can kind of almost fall onto a really great product idea?
Yeah, it's a good question. So I'll start with a free way to come up with products, and I'll tell you about one of our products that we built to kind of help with this as well. So a free way to do it, you know, you can search for like the Amazon bestsellers, and that will come up with all the products there. You'll need to like drill down into subcategories by clicking on them on the left-hand side to come up with product ideas. And those will be all the products that are already selling really well on Amazon. Some other good spots are like Pinterest. Sometimes you come up with good product ideas there. Sometimes like Reddit or BuzzFeed or whatever will have like top 10 whatever products, you know, something along those lines. Those are areas that you can come up with product ideas. This was actually like one of the biggest struggles that I used to have coming up with product ideas, because, you know, I came up with this really good criteria that I knew if I found an item that fit in it, that it would sell well, but it was a hard time, you know, finding those products. So I'll just go over this real quick because I hate to like pitch any of my products too hard. But essentially, the Jungle Scout, inside the Jungle Scout web app, we re-indexed all of Amazon's products in a way that is user-friendly for us sellers to search through. So in there, you can actually filter by this criteria and say, hey, I want something more than $20 that sells at least a few hundred a month and, you know, is doing well even though it only has 20 reviews. And, you know, I can also say it's like small, under a few pounds, all that type of criteria. And the web app will actually show you all those products on Amazon that meet that criteria. So then in there, you can come up with some really, you'll see like some really weird and strange stuff. And a lot of those are like the best products, because what you'll find, and I'm sure this happened to you, Nick, like if I'm sitting in my room right here, maybe you're a lot more creative than I am, but like after a few minutes, you know, I run into like equivalent to writer's block, right? Like, it's like, man, I can't think of any more ideas. Like, I've already tried everything that's sitting on my desk. Yeah. Like, I went to my wife's closet, but I still can't come up with any more ideas.
Yeah, the creativity aspect is difficult sometimes, but sometimes it just strikes you. Like, you'll be out at the store. I know I'll do that. I'll just see something at the store and it just hits me. I'm like, right away, I'm checking on my phone, like, would this be good? Or, you know what I mean? So it's like, sometimes it just hits you. But if you're really trying to go search around your house, maybe it's just like that writer's block, like you mentioned. But, you know, I just wanted to give people just some different perspective on how sometimes people come up with, you know, their first product idea, just to kind of get them started, you know?
Yeah, and that's also a really good point. You know, I'm kind of now like always in Amazon sourcing mode, right? So like whenever I'm just walking around or in the backyard or the store, if I come up with an idea, maybe I'll put that, you know, write that in my iPhone real quick or whatever. So
yeah, definitely.
That's a good point. I'm glad you said that.
What are some of the, I mean, you've talked with a lot of people, obviously. You've done interviews and you've done all kinds of stuff in the Amazon game for the community. What would you say like some of the biggest mistakes that people are making in the product selection phase? Like, what's the number one or number two thing that you see constantly just, you know, people just struggling with or just making a complete mistake with?
So the easiest way to fail in this is to choose a product that's too competitive. That's what I've seen. So if you choose a product with not enough demand, it's usually not like a failure, right? Like, you're still selling some items, maybe not as much, you know, maybe you're hoping to sell 10 a day, you're only selling two or three, you know, but the profits are usually still there. If you pick an item that's too competitive, it's more likely that you'll never get onto that first page or second page of results. You'll never really be making those sales. You're just kind of lost, you know, at the end of the Amazon system, you know, and then you have to think, okay, well, should I try to do like large giveaways to get a little spike in my sales? But again, you know, that's costing you some money if you have to do that every few weeks to try to get, you know, boost your rank to get back on that first or second page and so forth. So I'd say when in doubt, if I was a brand new beginner and I was just trying to launch my very first product today and I was pretty nervous about it, I would probably be extra conservative about picking something without very much competition, even if maybe not quite as much demand as what I was hoping for was there. I think that'd be the best way to go.
Okay. So I think it's been commonly kind of mentioned, but just so the listeners and the audience kind of understands, like, you know, we can kind of speak of like, let's say supplements may not be the most ideal category for somebody to jump in if they're just getting started, right? And if that's true, then what other kind of categories would you say maybe that person kind of wants to shy away from it if it's going to be their first product?
Besides supplements, it seems like these days the kitchen accessories are really competitive. A lot of the fitness type stuff's really competitive. You know, I think those are some of the main ones. That being said, I mean, again, there's like really obscure items in these categories that maybe might not be too competitive. So I hate to generalize it by like categories too much, but the main thing you'd want to look for then is like a small number of reviews. So if you search for, you know, I personally don't sell any supplements, but maybe if you did search for like a really like obscure, strange supplement, you know, if the only guy selling it each only had like 10, 15, 20 reviews, then maybe it'd be something to go after. But I think you're right there that if you're a beginner, you probably want to stay away from the supplements. It's definitely more cutthroat.
Yeah, definitely. Now, I really enjoy your Jungle Scout site, like your blogs. There's always a lot of really fresh and cool content on there. And I really enjoyed your case study with, I believe it's Jungle Sticks, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
That's it.
So I really enjoyed that and got a lot of learnings out of it. But I was just kind of curious, what was your biggest takeaways from doing that whole experiment, that whole case study?
Yeah, good question. One, I was scared to do it. I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
I had launched a bunch of products myself, so I was confident in all this criteria I gave, but it's like, man, like there's a lot of people following along with this one, you know, like tens of thousands of people. Like, man, if I screw this up.
Yeah, you're on full display and it could be bad.
Right. But the good news is it was very successful. Jungle Sticks are selling like 500 a month now. So they're doing really well. So it was definitely a success. As far as learning went along with it, I don't know if there's anything particular I learned from that, you know, with that product. Let's think. You know, I learned a little bit from every product that I launch.
Was it essentially that it just your process works? Kind of.
Yeah, that'd be a good one. You know, if you just follow the data, follow the process, that it works. You know, you don't need to be scared even if tens of thousands of people are following along. Another good one is something actually we didn't really mention is don't forget to take into account seasonality. I think we did with marshmallow sticks, but it's worth retouching on. So like this time of year is actually the slowest for us, like January, February, March. according to, you know, Google Trends or Camel Kim Camel, is the slowest time of month for marshmallows. And that makes sense.
Yeah.
You know, the summer, people are outside roasting s'mores, kind of in the fall time, you know, they're doing the same thing.
Yeah.
So, exactly. That's something to remember, but yeah, I mean, even though it's a slow time, if we're still doing 500 a month, I think it should be, you know, we should do really well come summertime.
Yeah, definitely. And for anybody that's a little unclear what we're talking about with these jungle sticks, if you go to junglescout.com, go to the blog section, there's a whole case study that Greg and his team did on a really cool concept and idea of marshmallow sticks. So you have to kind of check it out if you haven't had a chance to yet. So head over there if you're curious about it. So I want to talk a little bit about Jungle Scout here. I'm a big believer, and I talk a lot about it to my audience and just people in general that are, you know, considering getting into Amazon. And the reason why I talk a lot about it is because I believe in it. And when I first started, like I mentioned earlier, I was looking for my first product for quite some time, and it was really frustrating trying to crunch data manually. And it just drove me nuts. And I remember looking for weeks for my first product. And then I came across Jungle Scout. I think this was quite some time ago. It might even been right after you launched it. And I bought it, and I'm using it. I swear, it was within 10 or 15 minutes, I found like an ideal product to go after. And it was just like this reassurance to me of like, okay, this is cool because this saved me a lot of time and I like that. And you know, it just kind of gave me some confidence essentially. So can you just tell the audience and everybody listening like why or how in the heck you stumbled across the idea to create such a tool that everybody, you know, benefits from now and uses? So like, what was the concept behind actually creating Jungle Scout, and who did you do it for?
Yeah, sure thing. So I originally actually did it for myself. So for any of those of you who aren't familiar with it, there's two parts. There's a Chrome extension and we have a web-based, you know, app. The Chrome extension was the first created, and just to kind of give you an idea what it does, if you're in the Amazon store and I were to search garlic press or search marshmallow sticks, right there on the results page, you can hit a little JS icon that's integrated into your Chrome browser, and there'll be a little pop-up that shows you all the products that are on that page, how many units a month each one sells, how many reviews they have, how much the fees are, and so forth. And the data in this table is actually the same data that I used to create manually just in Excel sheets. So it almost sounds like too good to be true, but these spreadsheets literally take me like an hour to create for like one product. You know, I had like a team of VAs helping me do it, but now, you know, you just click a little button, within a few seconds this, you know, table full of data is populated. So I originally created for myself to streamline my product research instead of, you know, I had like, at one point I had like four or five VAs helping me. I'd give them a list of ideas, and this is what they'd do. They'd search for that product on Amazon. They'd pull out all this relevant data that I'm talking about and, you know, put it into this spreadsheet. So, you know, now you can do that within a few seconds, which is really cool. So yeah, I mean that, you know, I selfishly started it for myself. Just because I need, that was like the biggest bottleneck in, you know, my Amazon business and my product research. So,
yeah, okay, cool.
Now
you mentioned the Chrome extension, then you mentioned the web app. Now, what are the main big differences between the web app and the non-web app? So, like the extension. So, what's the main differences?
Yeah, and I know this is like a common confusion point for a lot of people. So, you know, what I just talked about was the Chrome extension. So it, you know, integrates into your browser. It actually runs inside of the Amazon store. So, you know, you're on Amazon.com when it's running, and you're using it inside of there. The web-based app is just like it sounds. It's a piece of software that, you know, operates in the cloud, operates on junglescout.com. So you're on our site running it. And inside the web app, there's a few main features. There's the product database, which I just touched on a little bit earlier about, you know, how we re-index Amazon's catalog, and you can filter through the criteria that people look, that sellers look for to find products. Also in there is a product tracker, so I can start tracking any product on Amazon on a daily basis. I can monitor their inventory, sales, and sales rank. So this is really good if you're looking at products kind of underneath a magnifying glass, making sure it's something you want to sell. And then also, just about a couple weeks ago, we released a new feature called the Niche Hunter. And this is similar to the product database, except instead of with products, we're doing it with entire keywords or niches. So we'll rank a particular niche like marshmallow sticks. We'll say, you know, as a niche as a whole, how competitive is it? How much demand does it have? How good are the listings? You know, how many keywords does it have in it, and other relevant information that we're looking for?
Awesome. Actually, that was going to be one of my next questions. Tell me about Niche Hunter. So it looks like you kind of already tackled that. Now, that's in the web app only, right? The Niche Hunter?
That's correct. That's inside of the web app.
Okay. Awesome. So definitely you guys are really crushing it as far as adding a lot of cool features to really make things easier for people searching for products to start sourcing and selling on Amazon, which is awesome. I'm totally on board with it. Now, what are you guys working on anything in the future? You're going to constantly be adding new features and ideas to your Jungle Scout web app and the Chrome extension?
Yeah, absolutely. So we have a full-time team of developers. There's actually seven now. I'm not a developer myself, but we have seven developers on Team Jungle Scout. And I mean, that's what they do every day, all day long, is just, you know, work on new features, improving, whether it's just, you know, the speed of the apps or features or so forth. So it's really cool because, you know, like the first idea of the Chrome extension was kind of my idea. After that, like our audience and, you know, users have thought of everything. They're great about, you know, sending me feedback saying like, oh man, I wish it could do this, or this is a big pain point I have, and this and so forth. So, you know, we'll work with the developers and like, okay, how can we make this happen? And so forth. So yeah, absolutely. We're already working months ahead of, you know, thinking of the next thing we're going to release and the next thing we're going to improve on and so forth. So it's really fun.
That's exciting, man. That's exciting. Now, if you guys are listening, well, obviously we'll put some links to in the show notes over to the Jungle Scout web app and just the site in general. So you'll have to check that out. Now, another thing that I just wanted to touch on just real briefly here. You obviously seen a need in the market, or just you wanted to get involved in it in terms of reviews, right? Because reviews are obviously, you know, they're a pretty important part of the whole piece of the pie here of winning on Amazon. And you recently, or I don't know how many months ago that was, but you launched a service called ReviewKick, right?
Yep, that's exactly right. So, you know, we're definitely not the only one in the review game. However, I wasn't quite happy with any of the other providers. You know, I wanted them to do this or that or whatever a little bit better. So that's when we decided one day that we just needed to develop a platform ourselves. So, again, like you said, reviews are so important for launching a product. It's almost impossible to do it without them. So, you know, we built essentially it's just a marketplace where sellers can connect with reviewers. So on there, there's tens of thousands of real Amazon reviewers. And what you do is you essentially just give them a coupon in exchange for an honest Amazon review. So if I were to list my product on there, like my marshmallow sticks, within, you know, a few hours, I would have a whole bunch of requests from reviewers. And you can look at some of their previous statistics, like how many helpful votes they get, you know, what type of reviews they normally leave and so forth. So you can decide whether they're a good fit. You know, it's like, okay, this person normally leaves sports and outdoors reviews, so they'd probably be good for my product. Or they usually get a lot of helpful votes, which is good because that means that they leave like high quality reviews that go into depth. Again, that's something that Amazon likes on their platform. It helps, you know, your particular product and so forth. So,
cool. Is that still in beta mode?
Yeah, you know, we still have the beta tag up there on the logo. We need to take that down, though.
Okay, I didn't know, because I know when you guys first launched that, it said beta, and you guys were just kind of working out some kinks, and, you know, you wanted people to start using it to develop some data and obviously get it working. So I was just kind of curious to see how far along you guys came with that and if it was, you know, ready to rock and roll.
Yeah, so I told myself I was going to keep up the little beta thing there until we had 10,000 reviewers in there, because I felt like that was enough to, like, so, you know, I want everyone who, any seller who put their product up there just to get like a ton of review requests, right? So now we've well exceeded 10,000 reviewers, and I guess we just need to switch out the logo now.
Sorry to call you out on that, man.
No, I should take note of that right now, but it is still free, actually. So,
okay, that was my whole point. Okay.
Yep.
So it's still free, just so everybody knows. It's not in beta anymore, but it's still high value. It's free. It's awesome. So definitely check that out as well. You know, I see you kind of speaking at some of these. You've been over, I don't know if you've been on the Canton Fair and kind of at some of these expo events in China yet?
Yeah, so I went to the Canton Fair this past fall, and then I'll be back in Hong Kong and China for the spring show.
Okay, so you're kind of checking that out. Now, I know some of our listeners might be headed out there. In fact, you know, I was just talking with Manuel from Import Dojo. He's, you know, definitely hot and heavy over there. Would you advise people getting involved in the Amazon game to maybe head to some of these expos? And if so, what can they actually get out of going to some of these things?
Yeah, that's a really good question. So it's by no means a requirement, you know, if you want to source from China, to actually go to China, visit the factories, some of the fairs or expos they put on and so forth. My first time ever going to China was this past fall. And at that point, I'd been selling on Amazon for like 2.5 years. I'd been manufacturing products in China for like a year and a half. So it's definitely not a requirement. That being said, I learned so much when I went there. So not only do you learn just about their culture, but it's amazing to actually go to these factories to, you know, meet some of these people that you're Skyping with or, you know, emailing back and forth and so forth. You know, I'd encourage everyone to try to go if possible, but don't feel like you have to get started in this game.
Okay, makes sense, but you can get some great benefit from it if you are kind of getting serious about the whole Amazon game and you really want to, you know, make a go for it. It might not be a bad play if you have the funds and the wherewithal to head out to any of these expos that they put on over there. I know there's a lot of them. It seems like they're always going on in the springtime. So if you guys are listening, yeah, obviously head out there if you can. I'm sure it can be a great experience for you. Now, where can we see you in the near future then? Are you going to be speaking at any events coming up in the United States or beyond, or?
Yes, I'm going to be speaking at an event Steve Chu's putting on called the Seller Summit. That is, unfortunately, I think tickets may be sold out for that one, but it's actually about 2 months from now, in I think the last weekend of May. So I'll be at that event speaking. I'll also be in Hong Kong for an event Global Sources is putting on. And let's see, that one would be in the middle of April, I believe. So you can just search, you know, Global Sources, like Hong Kong event, and it should pop up. But yeah, I'll be there as well. So if anyone's listening to this and you're either going to be in Miami or Hong Kong, I'm going to be there, reach out to me and we'll meet up.
Well, I'll be shaking your hand in Miami then. I'm also headed to the Steve Chu event. So,
sweet.
Yeah, looking forward to seeing you there. So that should be pretty cool. I think Scott Volker is going to be there and a few other people I noticed. But yeah, that should be really exciting.
Yeah, that's going to be fun in Miami. Steve put together a great lineup of speakers, and I think it's going to be a lot of fun. He's done a good job on it.
Awesome, awesome. So kind of wrapping things up here, I just wanted you to – I mean, you have experience in the Amazon game. You have a lot of success, and you obviously are a big part of our community here and for private labeling and FBA and all things alike. I was just kind of curious, what advice could you throw out there to somebody that's just getting started? Somebody that, you know, they want to make a go at this. They see all these people making really great income, some people quitting their jobs, making just, you know, awesome changes to their life, and they want to get involved starting on Amazon. Maybe what's the biggest piece of advice you could offer somebody that's kind of listening to this right now going, geez, I really want to make a go at this, but they're just waiting to hear that one thing. Like, what advice would you give that person?
Yeah. So again, a really good question. They've made a good first step by, you know, like listening to this podcast and going out and learning, because that's very important. You know, you'll learn a lot and avoid a lot of mistakes by doing that. After that, the biggest advice I think I could give would be, I'm trying to think the best way to phrase this. Essentially, you know, I don't want people to get hung up over like all the little things and all the little speed bumps that you'll hit along the way. For instance, like the first factory you communicate with might kind of be a dud. Maybe like the sample you get isn't a very high quality, or they're really poor at communicating, whatever. And I think a lot of people like get discouraged at all these little speed bumps along the way, all these little hiccups. Mm-hmm. And it's so important just to power through and like keep continuously making the next step. You know, don't let it discourage you. And just get that first product up on Amazon for sale, and you'll learn so much from doing that. You know, overall, it's not, you know, if you've listened to this podcast and others and you've, you know, learned about it and you understand the process, it's not actually that risky going through and actually ordering a product and putting it up on Amazon. Like, You know, worst case scenario, it seems like you could always just drop your price so that you're at like a break even point, right? And just unload them for, you know, a price that you wouldn't make any money, but you would learn, you know, a ton from the process. You'd get your money back and so forth. So that's what's really nice about like being in the physical goods business is, you know, you are investing. If I'm ordering 100 or 500 or 1,000 items, you are investing in a hard good that, you know, can be sold at some price.
Yeah, exactly. I tell that to a lot of people too, because there's obviously a lot of fear and it's just a lot of uncertainty when, you know, if let's say you're living in Canada or the United States or wherever, and you're talking to people a world away, it can seem very intimidating, the mm-hmm. culture and all the barriers there, and it just seems so complex. But ultimately, the worst that could happen, as you mentioned, is you probably break even in a worst case scenario, which that's not even really a bad thing. It's just you gain so much knowledge then on what to do different the next time around that it's really just not that big a deal. Maybe you lose a little bit of time, but you gain a lot of wisdom and knowledge though, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. So if I was like a person who was, you know, really conservative with my money, really nervous about this opportunity, what I would do is I would go into a niche that wasn't very competitive. So like I said, most of, you know, the top sellers don't have very many reviews, like under 50 or under 100. And then I would start with just a small order size, like 100 units. So for instance, you know, if I'm only ordering 100 units at, let's say, like $6 a piece with shipping, you know, maybe that's only like $800. So it's not a ton of money. Most people couldn't afford, you know, to put up $800. And you'll learn a ton from the process. And more than likely, you know, if you just from what you've learned from this podcast and so forth, you know, it should be a good product. So, I mean, I don't think you have anything to worry about.
Excellent. Excellent.
And yeah, we've been talking like worst case scenarios here too. You know, think on the other end, best case scenario is, you know, you make 200% ROI on it or more, and you know, you make a ton of money and then you go on to launch a whole bunch of products and just crush it.
Yeah. I know we always get so hung up on like the negative what ifs, right? And I had a podcast recently where I talked about that, where that's everybody's like thinking a worst case scenario because that stuff does come up and people do want to know and they do ask those questions. But a lot of times I'll think, and I even said it, I think it was like episode 8 that I had where I just said, you know, stop thinking about the negatives, but what if it was a rock star product? What if it, you know, crushed it and you just knocked it out of the park beyond your wildest dreams and it gave you so much confidence to proceed with, you know, product 2, 3, and 4 and your life changes, you know, because of that. So there's a lot of positive things that can happen with what if. So yeah, if we came across here a little doom and gloom on the negatives, I apologize, but because things can go great and they do go great for a lot of people. There's an awful lot of success stories out there and we see them all the time and, you know, we love hearing about them. So yes, great things can happen, everybody.
Absolutely.
So, all right. Well, that about does it. I really appreciate you jumping on here, Greg. I know you're a busy guy. You got a lot going on and the audience really appreciates your time as well. So we're just really grateful that you spent a little bit of time with us today and talk some Amazon and talk a little Jungle Scout with us today.
Absolutely. I appreciate you having me on. If anyone wants to connect with me, you can find me on Facebook, you know, in the Jungle Scout blog. I'm pretty active. We post a few times a week, tweet me, whatever. So yeah, thanks again for having me on. It's been fun, Nick. I've enjoyed it. I'm looking forward to meeting you in real life in Miami.
Absolutely. Would love to shake your hand and say hello to you. So thanks again, Greg, and we will talk to you later. Thanks.
All right. Take care. Bye.
Bye. Hey, thanks for listening to the very end. I really appreciate it. Now, for being such a loyal listener of the show, we are offering you an exclusive discount on Jungle Scout for the Private Labeler Show community. Simply go to junglescout.com/PLS to take advantage today, or simply use the Jungle Scout link on my resources page on privatelabelershow.com. So take advantage of the savings and start finding the perfect product to sell today. Thanks.